Well, hello and welcome. It is so good to be with you today, and I hope that you're having a great day where you are, both in terms of your circumstances and your walk and your relationship with the Lord. The day here is pretty right now, but it's clouding up. The wind is blowing. I'm actually filming this a week in advance. I'll be having eye surgery in a week or so, and then following that, we have revival at our church. And so I'm trying to get a few weeks ahead just to make sure that we don't lose our time together. But again, I hope that you're having a wonderful day. Hope that you have been looking forward to this time of hearing from our Lord. I know I always do. These times are a blessing for me. They help me in my walk and my relationship with the Lord. And I pray they do for you as well. I thank Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to make these times possible. But obviously, more than anyone, I thank our Lord who loves us, who has brought us into a relationship with Himself by salvation through faith and trust in His Son. And I hope that you've taken that step. I hope that you've trusted Christ. But as believers, God's called us into a relationship. He wants us to know Him. He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit to interpret His Word and to speak to us so we may hear Him. He's given us the means, the opportunities, like this one that we have here together today, to be able to know Him. And since this wonderful God wants us to know Him, let's go to Him in prayer and seek His face together. Father, thank You so much for this day. And Father, I just thank You, Lord, for Your love for us. Father, You are our Creator. Father, You are our Sustainer. Father, I thank You so much, O God, for the salvation that You've made possible through Your Son. Father, the whole concept of salvation, the desire to save some of mankind, Lord, Father, was of Your heart. Father, the means to do so, the giving of Your Son, the following through of that, O God, was of You. Father, and then our ability to come to understand and realize and to place our faith, our trust, every ounce of that, O God, comes from You and Your goodness and Your mercy and Your grace toward us. Father, we thank You. And Father, to think that it's not just to save us from hell, but to bring us into a relationship with Yourself. Father, help us to grow in that relationship. Help us to know You more, to walk closer to You. Father, use our time today. Use this passage of Scripture, Lord, to bring that about. Open our eyes. Lord, open our understanding. Oh, Lord, quicken our heart. Help us to hear from You today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We know as we open God's Word, we'll be in the 29th Psalm today. I know we've probably all heard, probably used the expression, into each life a little rain must fall, and that's true. But we also have all been through times and circumstances where it's not just a little rain. It's, in fact, a massive storm system. As I'm filming this today, the forecast is for storms later on. The forecast has diminished a little bit from what it was last night. But nevertheless, still the possibility of some pretty strong thunderstorms and a good bit of rain. We've experienced times like that in our life where, quite frankly, the forecast doesn't diminish as the event draws closer, but in fact, the forecast goes up. Sometimes in our life, it seems like we're going through an absolute deluge, that we're going through a flood, that we're going through a hurricane, that we're, in fact, just being completely overwhelmed by an awful storm. How do we handle such times? How can we truly go through such difficult times in our life? And we get some idea as to how we can go through those times as we open God's Word now to the 29th Psalm. In the background, the 29th Psalm is very clear as we read through it. David is watching and hence describing a storm system as it moves through Israel. He sees it, first of all, out over the Mediterranean. Then he sees it, and because remember, he's in Jerusalem, so he's up high enough to see the land. He can actually see the storm system as it crosses into the northern part of Israel. He can watch it actually advance all the way down to Jerusalem, and he sees as it finally works its way through on out the south part of the country, and the peace and calmness return after the storm. It's a beautiful word picture when you read through it. And in fact, as we turn our hearts toward this passage, let's go ahead and read through it again. The imagery, the picture is unmistakable. Again, Psalm 29, beginning in verse 1, and we'll simply read through it to begin with. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everything says, glory. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will give his people, will bless his people with peace. You know, simply reading through it, just listening to the flow of the inspired words, you can see a storm system as it passes through, as it develops, as it grows, as it gets closer, as the full force of it is experienced, and then the peace and the calm as it passes on through, and the beauty and the peace that is always there after a storm passes through. Again, that's the picture. But you think about the lessons that come out of this for our life that we need to apply, understand, live by. When we think about the storms of life, first thing we need to do is remember God's greatness. Look again at verses 1 through 2. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. Picture of the worship taking place in heaven, very similar to what you would see, say, in Revelation chapters 4 and 5. But you think about it. Before this storm ever developed, ever moved into the land of Israel, before it ever poured out, you know, its full power upon Jerusalem where David was, God was ruling and reigning. You think about it, even as the storm poured out its full force there upon Jerusalem where David was, God was ruling and reigning. After that storm had passed through, God was ruling and reigning. As you and I sit here today, wherever it is maybe that you're watching this, God is in fact ruling and reigning. What an incredible picture of God, his glory, his majesty, the greatness of who he is. Our God is truly the God who does in fact rule and does in fact reign. You know, as we think about these times in which we live in, you know, we are reminded of just how great our God is as we compare what we see around us to this time frame. How we desperately need this understanding of God, that he is sovereign, that he does rule, that he does use his sovereign power. He is providential. That is, he does in fact intervene. You know, one of the greatest problems of contemporary Christianity is the fact that we don't see God in his greatness. We don't think of him in those terms. We don't preach of him in those terms. We don't teach of him in those terms. It's not part of our thought as much as it was in generations past. And that is to our peril. And that is, in fact, to our shame and also to our detriment. Because unless we see God in his greatness and his majesty and his glory, we lose the whole concept of, first of all, our need of salvation, how far we're separated from such a God, the means of salvation, what it takes to save us, to reconcile us to such a God. But it also robs us of the ability to trust him, whether you're talking about the events of our world or, in fact, the events of our life. We need to understand the storms that we face are not in any way a threat to God. They in no way rival his power. Quoted once before G. Campbell Morgan, who, and I'll paraphrase it, all of our problems are little to God. And that's not to diminish anything that anyone is going through, anything that you may be going through. You may be going through some very difficult time now, physically or emotionally, or financially, or relationally, within your family, or whatever, or occupationally. And certainly, maybe as a result of that, spiritually. But stop and think about who this God is. We serve the God who rules and reigns. You think about the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, and you think in verses 1 through 4, in the year of King Uzziah's death, one of the good kings that Judah had, didn't have a whole lot of them, they had some, he was a good one, and Isaiah knew from this point on for the nation it was pretty much going to be downhill. He knew at that point that Judah was turning the point, turning the corner to the point of no return. And you think about, however, where God drew his focus to. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. How Isaiah needed to see that at that time. How we need to see it, certainly in this stage in our nation's history, God still rules and reigns. As we look at world events and wonder where we may be in terms of God's prophetic time clock, as you may be looking at the events in your own life, how we need to see God in his greatness. But you know, God is not just up there, so to speak. But we also need to remember secondly, God's involvement. That God is in fact personally with us in the situation. This great God is in fact near. This great God is in fact working. Look again at verses 3 through 9. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord hews out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calve and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, everything says glory. You know, this storm actually shows the power of God. Seven times the voice of the Lord is mentioned. Talking about there the very presence and nearness and power of God. God was truly, personally at work in that situation. As you and I are going through this day, and again, you may be going through a very, very difficult time right now. You may be going through the most difficult time you've ever faced in your life. Child of God, and I pray you are one by having trusted Christ as your Savior. If you haven't done so, I invite you to trust Christ as your Savior. Be born again. Be forgiven. Be adopted as God's child. But child of God, our Lord is in fact wonderfully with you. I know it's a long cross reference, but I've always loved what David, again, another Psalm of David, was inspired to write in Psalm 18. And I know it's a long cross reference, but think about what David is saying in verses 6 through 15. Psalm 18, beginning in verse 6. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. And listen what happens. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling or shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon the cherub and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channels of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of your nostrils. Again, I know that's a long cross reference, but did you see the fact that God was personally involved in David's problem? David called and God personally involved himself in the situation. The very nearness of God, we need to remember that our God is in fact near. He is personally involved in our life. He is personally involved in your circumstances. Now, and again, you may be going through a very, very difficult time. There's no way to say very difficult enough times to emphasize what you're going through. But the reality is God is in fact with you. His very nearness. He is there. Our God is great. Our God is in fact near. He is personally involved. But then notice what else we need to remember. Number three, God's faithfulness. Look at verses 10 and 11. The Lord sat as king at the flood. Yes, the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Did you see it? God will. It doesn't say God might, or it doesn't say God probably will. It doesn't say if you're lucky, maybe God will do it. No, it says God will. Repeatedly tells us and God that God will in fact be faithful unto us. God calls us throughout his word to call upon him, to trust him, to rely upon him, and he's repeatedly promised that he will in fact answer our prayers. You think about what we see in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which guards your hearts and mind, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, I heard my phone beep a moment ago. But you think about that. God will in fact answer. He will in fact give us his peace. You think about what we read in Hebrews 13 as we look at the latter part of verse 5 going through verse 6. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Man or any other situation. We can trust our Father. Our Lord is in fact faithful. Do you remember the disciples when they were caught in a storm? Do you remember the lesson that they learned? Think with me back in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves, but Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, Save us, Lord, we are perishing. And he said to them, Why are you afraid, you men of little faith? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, What kind of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Our Lord, faithful, involved, sovereign. When you and I are in the storms of life, we can trust him. And again, you may be in just such a storm today. Listen to what David was inspired to write in this psalm. Our Lord is great. He rules, he reigns, he's sovereign. He's over all of it. But he's not just over all of it up there. He's personally involved with you. And he is faithful. He has promised to carry you through, and he will. You can trust him. And I pray that whatever it is that you're facing today, or just life itself, or certainly these times in which we live, that you'll trust the Lord even in the storms that you may be facing today. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, thank you so much, O God, for your faithfulness. Father, for your involvement, and O God, for your greatness. Lord, we praise you. Lord, as we face these times, circumstances within our life, oh Lord God, may we trust you. Be with us through the rest of this day and the days to come, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope the rest of this day for you is in fact a wonderfully blessed day. I hope that you walk with the Lord, that you experience his closeness, that even if you're facing storms, that you can have the confidence of security of resting in Him.